Well, choir, can I thank you so much for leading us in worship? That just didn't happen in a few minutes of a quick practice. And I just want to thank you so much for all the work and effort and many, many nights of dedication that you will have spent preparing for this harvest season. I belong to a congregation growing up in Mourne. And as a young person, there was 60 to 70 in the choir. That's a congregation of 900 to 1,000 people. But it's a long time since I've been in a congregation with such a good choir as Le Comfort. And all the things John has told me about these places, he never let on that he's had a good choir. So, the mar, I'll be tackling them. With our Bibles open on our knees, let us commit this time of proclamation to the Lord. Father, we want to thank you for the talents, gifts, and skills you give your people to serve you. And Lord, what a joy it is to be able to lift high the name of Jesus and to sing your praises. And Father, now as we turn to the proclamation of your holy, infallible word, we pray, Lord, that you, the God of all eternity, Lord, would speak to us this night. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart bring glory and honor to you. Father, tonight may we just not hear the words of the chief of sinners, but Father, may we hear you, the living God, speaking to us, teaching us, correcting us, rebuking us, and training us in the ways of righteousness, we pray. Amen. Tonight from God's word, I would like us to consider the question, what is your priority in life? What is my priority in life? Each and every one of us here tonight will have priorities in our lives. Whatever our priority is, that will be your and my focus. That is the thing which will take up our time, our energy, and our resources. Throughout our materialistic society, many people's priority is their career. Parents, grandparents, is it not true that we tell our children and grandchildren to keep their heads down in the books? You need to study hard. Young people, I remember my mama and my dada going on like that at me. Instead of things like this, if you want a good job, if you want to earn lots of cash, if you want a nice house, you want that fancy car, you want the latest iPhone, you need to work hard in school, you need to get those top grades. And you've guessed it, I didn't listen to a word they said. God had a better plan. For many in our society, and we see it every single day of our lives if we're honest, for many in our society, their number one priority is money. There are those tonight who are worrying sick if they've enough money. There are those tonight who are concerned in how they should invest their money so it makes them a good return. And there are those who are worried tonight, who in fact they should leave their money to. What is your and my priorities in life? How is it that you and I choose and order our priorities? What guides and directs our choice making? In Luke chapter 12, we see Jesus is preaching to a vast crowd. Verse 1 tells us that the crowd numbers many thousands of people. There was that many in that crowd that they were trampling on top of one another. Luke tells us in verse 13 that there was a man who was not interested in Jesus' teaching. What a shock. We see that every Sunday in church, do we not? The man shouts out of the blue to Jesus. He tells Jesus his problem. He in fact asks Jesus for a request. And this request revealed to Jesus what this man's number one priority was in life. This man asked Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance. You know, whenever there is a family dispute, be sure money and land is involved. I know no one here tonight. I think I know actually, well, I know two. I know my wife, because she's here. I think I know a gravedigger up there too. I might be wrong. You look familiar. You know? This man's priority was his inheritance. This man's priority was cash. Most likely, this man's brother was also in that vast crowd. And this man is looking for something that was, in fact, his brother's. The man's desire is that Jesus would make a decision concerning the inheritance in his favor. Verse 14 explains to us that the man wanted Jesus to act as a judge and, in fact, rule in the case of the inheritance. And the text tells us that Jesus refuses to get involved in the debate. Jesus rejects the request because he would not participate in satisfying the greed that he senses had prompted it. Jesus believes that this man has the wrong priority. Jesus told the young man, "Man, who appointed me as a judge between you both brothers?" Jesus is telling this man to go to the authorities who are employed with the task of sorting out this issue. Jesus is telling this man, "This is none of my business. I have not come here to deal with this. I have much larger fish to fry." You see, Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save the lost. Jesus' mission is to provide salvation for his people. Luke shows us how Jesus in verse 15 goes right to the heart of the matter. He says, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Jesus' parable challenges a fundamental assumption of the man's society. You see, it was commonly held that a person's life was measured by the abundance of his or her possessions. Maybe you're sitting here tonight, as you often are, and you're saying to yourself, "So what? How does this affect my life tonight in 2022? Our society in the 21st century is no different to the society that this man found himself in. Why is it tonight that ITV make a clean fortune making adverts? Each advert is telling you that you need to possess this newest and up-to-date possession. Is it not true that in Northern Ireland we measure the importance of people by the type of house they live in, the vehicle they drive, how many acres of land they own, their vocation? We are living in a generation that wants to live to the standard of the Joneses. We all want to live this American dream. Greed is in the hearts of those who have, and greed is also in the hands of those who don't have. Greed wants more that I have. Greed is the desire to keep all that I have. Jesus tells us in this story how we need to take positive action against greed. We're not to covet what others have. We are to be content with our Lord. We need to be on our guard. Greed is sin. Our greed tells God, who gives us all of our possessions, that he is less important to us than our material possessions. We do this by placing more value on material possessions than on the Lord God. Are we guilty of doing that tonight? Well, let us be honest with ourselves. Let us search in the deep secret parts of our heart. Let's see if we are greedy people. Are we content with what we have? Or are we always looking for bigger and better and much more of it? Are we discontent with our Lord? Are we those who envy or are grieved by the possessions our neighbor has? Could it be said of us that we in fact worship our possessions? Do we treat them like they are God? Jesus tells us in verse 15, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Tonight, maybe we need to do a reevaluation of our priorities in life. Our lives do not consist in our earthly possessions. They are temporal. They will pass away and leave us empty. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us that we need to put to death the sin of greed. It states, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." And how is it that we can put to death the sin of greed? We cannot do that in and of ourselves. That is simply impossible. But Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 tells us to repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. We need to turn from sin and put our trust in God, who is gracious and will forgive us of our sins. God is to be number one in our lives. God is to mean more to us than cash. We are to be worshippers of the Lord God, not our earthly possessions. God alone is to be our greatest treasure. We are called tonight to love him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor as ourselves. What is your priority in life? What is my priority in life? Now let us turn to the parable itself. This farmer we see had a bumper of a harvest. The farmer we see produces a really good crop, so big that his barns could not store it. The type of harvest that every farmer wants every single year. Was the problem that this farmer had a good harvest with a huge crop? No, it wasn't. It's not a bad thing tonight, farmer, when your land produces plentiful. That is a gift from God. That is a rich blessing. It is God who allows the sun to shine, to create the heat, to make your crops grow. It is God who provides the rain to provide for your crops to grow. It's not a bad thing when your business prospers. It's not a bad thing to work hard and to be rewarded with a promotion and with it a pay rise. It's not a bad thing when your investments increase in value. But you see, when you find out where to invest your money to get that good return, tell everybody else the secret, because no one seems to know that any longer. This farmer had two wrong priorities in life. The first wrong priority was he never saw beyond himself. It's clear that this man did not include God in any of his plans. The word I, my, and myself are repeated over and over again. These words appear no less than 9 times in verses 17 and 18. And the second wrong priority that this rich farmer had was that he thought wrong. He thought wrong. He planned for the here and now, and he gave no thought, no attention to matters of eternity. Everything is about himself. Verse 19 tells us that he works so that he may eat, drink, and be merry. His goal in life is to store up this bumper crop in order that he may take life easy. His labor is focused on himself, not to mention there is no sharing of his crop with God or with those who are in need. He does not even recognize that it is God who has blessed him with this abundant crop in the first place. He was the beginning and end of his own story. He never saw beyond his own world. He was all about now, never later. He had no thought whatsoever of death or of what comes after death. And Luke tells us in verse 20 that Jesus calls this farmer a fool. This night your soul will be required of you. This farmer failed to recognize his own immortality. He is a fool because he reckons on many years when he could not know if he had another day to live. The really foolish thing was the rich man's easy assurance that his future was in his control. He thought that he was in control over his own fate. But he's very soon going to find out that he certainly was not. In fact, before the very night would be out, his life, his soul would be demanded from him. And now what is going to happen to all his wealth? It's not going to be his anymore. We live in a generation where people worry about what's going to happen to their wealth after their day. People put a lot of thought into making a will. And if you haven't made a will yet, I would encourage you to phone a solicitor tomorrow and do so. In the first year of our marriage, me and my wife made a will. And you know why? To stop families fighting. Fighting. Too much fighting in our society over what is left afterwards when the people are gone. Who should we leave the house to? Who should we leave the ground to? Whose name should be put down to take over and to keep going the family business? Money causes people so much worry and stress. And this is the reality tonight. People can't live with it. And they can't live without it. It's the root of all evil. And congregation, here's a reality tonight. There's no tow bar on a hearse. There is no shroud, no pockets in a shroud. We come into the world with nothing, and we also will leave the world with nothing. I don't know if you watched The Queen's Funeral or not. All five of us in our household did. Do you remember that picture in St. George's Chapel before the Queen's coffin was laid down? The crown was removed from it. All those grandeur of riches of jewels was taken off it. She, just like you and I, came in with nothing. And she also left with nothing. What this farmer did not understand was that he was not in control of his lifespan. And we read that tonight in our call of worship in Psalm 39, verses 4 to 5. It states, "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my day a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure." And there's no one here in this meeting house tonight, myself included, who is immune from death. But for so many in our society, so many who find their butts in our pews week by week, they seem to be living as if this world and death is so, so far away. The reality is, for anyone here this evening who's not made it a priority to prepare for death, that is a really foolish, foolish thing. God says, you are a fool. One thing each and every one of us is guaranteed to do is this: we are going to die. It's not a matter of if we die. It is, in fact, a matter of when we die, unless the Lord returns beforehand. 100 out of 100 people die. As a minister of the gospel, I get to stand over a lot of gravesites. And as a minister, it would be so easy to get numb to death. At each burial, before the remains reach the gravesite, I try my hardest to go to that gravesite beforehand to inspect the grave. And I do that for two reasons. one of which I will share with you tonight. I do that to remind myself that there's a day coming when it'll be my turn to be sown back into the ground. Tell me tonight, if you were to die, would you be ready to stand before God and to give him an account of your life? The only way you and I can be effectively prepared for death is by placing our faith in Jesus Christ alone and asking him to forgive us of our sins. Tonight, are you trusting in Christ? Is that a priority for you? The Bible is clear: when we die, our souls will leave the body in that instant, and we will either go to one of two places, either heaven or hell. We will be judged. Let me tell you, when that moment comes, each and every single one of us will want to hear those wonderful, most beautiful of all words that ever could be spoken: "Well done, good and faithful servant." And how is it possible to hear that statement from the Lord God? Well, it's not because of anything that we will have done. It's only because of what Christ has done for us. Because Christ has in fact done for us what we could never do for ourselves. Tonight, make Christ your number one priority. Do not waste this day of grace, because here's the reality. You and I tonight are ticking time bombs. Ticking time bombs. We are only a breath away from breathing our last. The only breath we're guaranteed to take is the one we are currently taking. The most important thing in all the world is to be ready for eternity. What is your priority in life? What is my priority in life? In verse 21, Jesus gives us the punchline. This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. Those who are rich towards God are those who, by God's grace, have sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to them. Those who are rich towards God are those who walk humbly with their God. Being rich towards God means that we are honest with ourselves about our sin of greed. We confess the sin to God, because we all do struggle with this sin if we are honest. And in response to the gospel, we are called to be a people who are generous to the needs of others. As God has richly blessed us and met our greatest of all needs, we are also called to bless others who are in need. We are no longer to be a people who trust in our own self-sufficiency. Instead, we're to be a people who trust in God to give us this day our daily bread. Being rich towards God means committing time to serve God by using the gifts, talents, and skills he has given us for the advancement of his kingdom. Is your priority tonight to live for God? Is he your number one priority? It is my prayer that he is. But if he is not, make him your top priority right now. Right now. Let us pray.